right, welcome to Highly Questionable. We got Izzy Gutierrez wearing a hoodie like it's not August in Miami. We have Katie Nolan, and we have sports to discuss.
Hot.
What felt more significant? Zach Wilson lighting it up or uneven performances from Trey Lance and Justin Fields?
All right, so this is an interesting thing, and forgive me for making this about myself for a moment, but I'm one of these people that people just look at and assume, man, you got an opinion about everything, and then every year August rolls around, and I come on TV on a Monday, and you want me to talk about this preseason football and act like I got some real opinions about what we got out of this fake football. Now, for Zach Wilson, it's a good thing that he looked good because we have been hearing so much about him in practice and throwing the ball away. And his point was, hey, man, I'm just seeing what I can get away with. And it looks like he's figured some things out in that regard. He looked good. At the very least, he looked like somebody that the Jets can throw out there week one and people won't feel already like they made a mistake. And when you're a Jets fan, you always feel like they already made a mistake because you know damn well they already made a mistake. You just don't know which one it is. Now, for Trey Lance, I don't think it matters that much that the performance is uneven. I do think that if you gave up all the picks that they gave up, it should be for a guy who was ready to start at week one. However, what we've seen from him, I think, given that he did not play football last year except for that one game, given how few starts he had in college, it's not terribly surprising that we're going to see ups and downs from him. What you hope for, though, is when you see the flashes that they look so incredible that it reminds you why somebody would give up so much capital in order to get him. And that looks like what we got. Like Mina Kimes made the point, depending on when you turned on that game, you either thought you saw a bust or you saw the second coming. And the possibility of the second coming is why he was the number three overall pick. So at the very least, it's been validated in that way. I think I just came up with an opinion about this.
Just you now. Did.
Yeah, you did. Congratulations, Bo. It is very confusing, though, with just the three preseason games, because this is supposed to be like the dress rehearsal, right? But you still got like a Zach Wilson playing against second and third teamers. third teamers there, but you can still find the positive with him. With Zach, you're still waiting for something negative, right? Outside of those practices where his coach told you, hey, the interceptions are good, we're working on some stuff, the couple of preseason games, there's not really much to nitpick at. And you had Phil Simms go over to Jets practice, I read, and he was just being nosy, like he said. And he said, what I've been saying is like, man, that dude, when he throws on the run, is ridiculously accurate. And in my brain, it automatically goes to Aaron Rodgers. And yes, I just did that. I did it again for the second week in a row with Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers in the same sentence. But when he's starting off this attractive, right, this sexy, when you're kind of going out of the pocket and throwing accurate on the run, I think there's nothing but good things you can say. The Trey Lance part, I don't really mind the beginning, right? Because his coach even said, a couple of guys probably could have helped him out a little bit more. I look at that long stretch at the end and say, that's enough for me to say, wow, I'm intrigued. Like, this guy maybe within the first month could be starting, because you want to say with the Niners, okay, they have the fallback option, they have Garoppolo, you don't need to rush Lance. But Bo, you mentioned it, they traded so many first round picks, three of them for this guy. So yeah, it wouldn't hurt. And their game plan would be, hey, let's get this guy ready. He's going to be the guy that gets us to a Super Bowl, not Garoppolo. So yeah, I think you're wildly intrigued by that second half or that second portion of Trey Lance's performance, because of all these guys, if he's starting, I think it's probably best for his team.
It seems more clear to me, kind of to Bo's point, that the point of preseason is expectations. It's not to have expectations going into preseason and then seeing what the reality is and making some kind of judgment call before the season starts, which is kind of what we're being asked to do right now by this television show. It's more about, okay, before the season starts, what are our expectations? It actually makes it fascinating to me to hear that Robert Saleh, first year head coach, gave us such a negative impression of Zach Wilson, told everybody to kind of temper their expectations going into it, so that in these moments when he has a game where he performs really well in front of, might I add, Aaron Rodgers, somebody that he was a childhood fan of, when he goes out and does well, people look at that and instead are like, well, that's a good thing. This is a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. What it should do is just be even. So now going into the season, because we've been told that he threw a lot of picks in practice, Phil Simms saw him throw picks in practice, and Phil Simms was like, practice is where you want to throw picks. It feels like the expectations for Zach Wilson are not going to weigh too heavily on his shoulders were he to take the field, because now we've been told told that, hey, don't worry, even if he looks good, he might actually be bad. The opposite of that is what you don't want to happen, which is what happened with Justin Fields, which is we saw him be really, really good in his first game. And then in his second game, everyone's like, oh, this was kind of mediocre or disappointing. You're checking your expectations too soon. Gather all of it from the beginning of the preseason and then change your opinion based on what happens in the regular season. Because in the preseason, it's against the first, second, or third teams, as Izzy pointed out. You never know who they're actually taking on. There's too many variables at play. Just kind of get a feel for these guys. And they all feel to me, I think they're doing a very good job. Good job, you guys.
I think the dilemma for the 49ers is really going to come down to, though, is Garoppolo lowers the ceiling of what they had. Like, he's not Alex Smith, but it's similar to the Alex Smith Kaepernick situation where Alex Smith was playing about as well as Alex Smith could play in 2012, but the ceiling was lowered on the team, and so they made the move to Kaepernick, and they ultimately made it to the Super Bowl. But Kaepernick didn't make a lot of mistakes in that run. It looks like this early portion of the Trey Lance experience is going to come with a lot of mistakes. Are they going to be at a point as a team where they can afford to roll the dice on his mistakes, even if the ceiling gets higher? Whew, good luck figuring that out, Kyle Shanahan. Good thing you're the one they say is a genius.
What's your reaction to the Raiders calling the Bears about getting Khalil Mack back?
All right, so we got this report from The Athletic. You may recall that the Raiders traded Khalil Mack to the Bears. They got a couple first-round picks back for that. First-round picks turned into Josh Jacobs, who's pretty good, and Damon Arnett. Is that the dude with the funny color hair? I think that's the one that he is. Either way it goes, it seemed to work out pretty well for the Bears. Khalil Mack won a Defensive Player of the Year award. He's still one of the most dominant pass rushers in the league. And now we hear that the Raiders might want him back. Like, they did the whole Ralph Kiner kind of thing when they traded him. We can finish in last with you, or we can finish in last without you. But what are you going to use to actually get him back, given that what you got for him, you did not actually turn into that much? If you're the Bears, you just have to laugh when that call comes in, right? Or you try to come up with a way that you could absolutely rob them and get all the picks that they're going to have in the future, because maybe you could trick John Gruden into doing that. What in the world is he doing down there in terms of personnel and front office stuff? That's been the biggest question, because as a coach, I feel like he's adjusted to this modern NFL better than I expected him to. I have to give him some measure of credit for that. But the moment they had the number four pick and they took the third best out of the three Clemson defensive linemen who were in that draft, we looked around and were just kind of like, does this guy know what he's doing? And I still don't have an answer for that.
Well, it can be different levels of embarrassing. I think if you look at it, it's not quite as embarrassing when you say, okay, they were rebuilding. Obviously, Mack was a star defensive player. Couldn't, you know, like you said, we'll finish in last with you, we'll finish in last without you. But they didn't trade him because they were going to finish in last. They traded him because they literally could not afford him. They couldn't, the franchise was in that position, they could not afford the guy, so it's like, all right, let's go ahead and trade you, get some assets back, and rebuild. And in that sense, yeah, maybe not as embarrassing until you consider, how can you not afford him? You are an NFL team, you are the Raiders, you should be able to purchase or buy anybody's contract or pay for anybody, and so that part is also embarrassing. And then there's the part where, okay, look, you did your job, you rebuilt a little bit, you got a good team, and now you need, you know, another pass rusher. Go after anybody else. Anybody else but Khalil Mack, and maybe it won't be that embarrassing. Don't go asking for him back. You can't do that.
Yeah, to that point, I believe Derek Carr was on Chris Collinsworth's podcast, because everybody has a podcast now, and I think he said that they thought that he was going to sign Khalil Mack, that it was confusing. He thought that the money was being moved around and that he was going to be signed. So it's interesting to me, and like you said, Bo, and like you said, Izzy, when he makes decisions like that, Gruden or anybody in the front office at the Raiders, we are all kind of like, this sounds not smart, but maybe it'll prove to be smart. And I feel like going back and asking for the guy back the second you need to fill that position is proof that maybe it wasn't smart. I'm not saying necessarily that it wasn't smart. I don't want anybody to be mad at me, but it feels like that's proof. It's like saying, we broke up and I thought about it, and you were actually the greatest, and I want to get back together with you. It's like, you don't go back. You've got to pursue other options. And the goal is like, you know, I hope that they see you surviving and thriving with somebody else that isn't them. But to admit that you went back and were like, you want to come back, try again? It's like, that's not enough. That's not enough to sell him, because why did you let him go in the first place? I don't know. It just seems messy to me. Don't go back, folks. Move forward.
Well, here's why they're not going to give him back. Because if you have a pass rusher as good as Khalil Mack, you don't trade him. Mm-hmm, everybody mm-hmm. in the league knows that except for you, John Gruden.
Do you share Tom Brady's optimism that 2021 could be his best season yet?
Hey, Katie, Tom Brady, you ever heard of him? Mm-hmm. He plays quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. I feel like he used to play 14 somewhere around where you from. Mm-hmm, anyway, he was talking to Peter King for the Football Morning in America column. And he said that he could see 2021 being his best season. He didn't say it was going to be his best season. He didn't make some bold prediction about it. He just said that he could see it being possible. Now, I do not think it is possible because I just don't think you can get back to being 2007 Tom Brady, which is the best version that we have ever seen. So, right, this isn't slight to him. This is praise for how good he has been at his absolute maximum. But, see, I never get this right. Like for the last 7 years, I've been getting this wrong, making this basic and what I think is obvious statement, which is you just can't keep expecting old people to play like young people. It's unfair to him. It's unfair to everybody else. At some point, you hit the wall and you hit the wall hard. Brett Favre's first year with the Vikings was as good as he had ever been. And then the wheels came off completely the next season. We don't know when it's going to come necessarily, but it typically happens and it comes fast. What that means is in this job, you can make the decision to roll the dice to try to be the person to get out ahead of Tom Brady being sorry. And I tried that in 2014 and they won a Super Bowl and I ain't never going to do it again. So all I'm going to say is anything is possible, just like Kevin
I mean, I was just about to say, it seems like you're calling it again. It seems like we're just running tape from 2014. But, I mean, everybody could say that. I think everybody in 2014 probably said, hey, I think his time might be coming up. Meanwhile, he is now trying to win back-to-back Super Bowls. Who was the last quarterback to win back-to-back Super Bowls? Same dude, Tom Brady. And so, you know, if your face and hair can recover and be as young as it is now, why can't his game? Like, if they protect him and they put all these weapons around him, I don't understand why he couldn't play or have one of his best seasons, if not his best season. Of course, all it takes is one, you know, guy to get through that line and injure him, one, you know, running attempt by Tom Brady to ruin everything. But I think if you keep him healthy and keep him protected, there's nothing that this guy can't do with this talent around him.
When I first saw Red Panda take a bowl and put it on her foot and flip it up onto a stack of bowls on her head, I was like, there's absolutely no way that is possible. And it was. She did it. And then she did it over and over and over again. What I learned from that situation is that, like, if people show you they can do something, who are you to underestimate them? So I'm going to say Tom Brady can play till he's 55. Until he shows me something that says that he can't, unfortunately for me and my well-being, I believe he's going to keep playing incredibly well and potentially winning Super Bowls. And I'm super, super, super happy for him. Three times you say super and it sounds a lot more convincing. I'm super happy for him. But I will say, if we're going to do, you know, one of those investigations into things that people like to do to bring down people who are on top, maybe do an investigation into Tom Brady to see if he was in fact replaced by a robot, because it doesn't make any logical sense as I near 35 and my body starts to feel like a completely different body. I understand I don't take as meticulous care of it as Tom Brady does, but it's wild to me that his body still feels good doing things that my body never felt good doing. It's very frustrating, but I'm super, super, super happy for him.
Up next on HQ.
This was the bad break for her. When is the last time you tuned in to a race to see a person and that person?
Yeah, that part was tough.
That it
was
never
tough. But it was 11
happens.
Seconds.
Time to play the game that thinks he can definitely complete the milk crate challenge. Do your question.
Do it. Do it.
So do it.
I mean,
it.
Come on.
Do it.
Super easy.
Yeah, okay. Top of events questions. Do it.
Do you question how big a deal Sha'Carri Richardson's last place finish was?
Hey, man, the women's 100 meter at the Prefontaine Classic was a thing. 4:40 on Saturday was the time. People were ready for it. People were excited because Sha'Carri Richardson was going to race against the women she did not get to race against in Tokyo because, you know, that whole thing happened. Anyway, she was out there. Now, when we were in Tokyo, she sent out a tweet. And she said, hey, that she was the person that people wanted to see. And so here we are. We're going to get a chance to see her against the best in the world. You're going to see Sha'Carri Richardson. Yeah. There's the best in the world. Oh, and there she goes right there at the end. Hey, man, those are the best in the world. And so after the race, she came and did an interview. And she started off strong and just being like, hey, I did my best. And then it kept going.
This is one race. I'm not done. You know what I'm capable of. Count me out if you want to. Talk all the you want, because I'm here to stay. I'm not done. I'm the sixth fastest woman in this game ever. And can't nobody ever take that from me. Congratulations to the winners. Congratulations to the people that won. But they're not done seeing me yet. Period.
Yo, she came out there and did a wrestling shoot right after. Like, is it a big deal? Nah, man. It's just one of those things where somebody had a whole lot to say and then went out there and got dusted. That is typically something that winds up being pretty funny in the moment where it happens. And this is what's interesting to me. She said, I'm the sixth fastest woman in this game. Really big deal. It's a lot of people in this world who can run. She is faster than all of them but five. Wow. Except that just sounded like sixth place to us and you finished it.
Well, let me just say this. This race was about Elaine Thompson Hurrah. She with the 10.54, second fastest time ever behind FloJo. And if you know anything about FloJo's times, it's been a long time since anybody's been getting close to those things. So that is crazy impressive. Sha'Carri Richardson was essentially a sideshow in this race because she is that interesting. She's made herself that interesting. And it's just, it's because she created this for herself. And again, if she wants to dish it out, she's got to be able to take it. I want to see the comeback story. I want to see her be able to recover from this. Maybe she just hasn't trained very well in the last month or so. But hey, she is ripe for the picking. And go ahead.
Yeah, I get that. I'd say in the time that we've known her, which has, let's be honest, been for most people, the collective sports consciousness has been like a couple weeks. She's been pretty good at owning her mistakes. And so I think right after a race, when you cannot even fully catch your breath yet, of course, what she has to tell herself is, I'm the sixth fastest woman to ever do it. So I will be back. I think publicly, her message isn't necessarily like, you're all wrong for criticizing me. It's that like, I've got to tell myself I still got this, so I can still got this. She went from relatively unknown to trending on Twitter for a week straight. That has an effect on you as a person. It affects your mental health, and hers was already, as she said, in a precarious spot. And it also just affects your lifestyle. It affects the amount of time you're paying attention to hearing what people are saying. It's more people giving you feedback on something that you've never received feedback from those people before. So I think it's an adjustment. I think her personal best would have finished her in second in this race, so we know that she can do it. She just has to remind herself and go back out there and do it. And I think it'll again be a race that we all tune into when I've never watched a race outside of the Olympics, I think probably ever.
This was the bad break for her. When's the last time you tuned in to a race to see a person and that person?
Yeah, that part was tough.
That
was
never tough.
But it was 11
happens.
Seconds. I mean, what can you get done in 11 seconds? I can't accomplish anything in 11 seconds. And this woman's out here coming in ninth. That's something. Time to play the game that can't believe she has to talk about Tom Brady for at least another year. See? Or no?
You tell us what's on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued. Look at y'all. Bring them heads closer. Both of y'all just look like y'all were just trying to nuzzle up against me.
In Oregon, preseason football practice.
All right, so Jahlil Tucker, he is a four-star recruit, and we're going to have video of him announcing his commitment, where he is going to go play college football.
I'm happy. I'm happy for him. He's a good kid. Lazy, but he's a good kid. And I know he's going to represent Oregon well.
Come on, what? Man.
All right. We're going to do it. All right.
Don't worry.
Have the decision. Tell us what's going to be.
Dang.
For the next couple Oilers. Of years, I'll be attending the University of Oregon.
No way. No way.
I would have loved it if he just would have turned to Dad and say, Dad, you screwed it up. I'm going to Oregon State now.
Yeah,
because, I mean, come team. On.
Hold on. After he called him lazy.
I know.
Like, let us not forget that he started by calling him lazy, and then Pops couldn't even work hard enough to keep the secret to himself. Kate, are you intrigued?
No, I'm not intrigued by preseason football practice, and I understand what the producers are trying to do here, but I'm sticking to the actual point of the show, which is to answer the question. And no, preseason football practice doesn't interest me, but I can relate to having a parent who calls you lazy in front of a bunch of other people.
Easy, can you?
Is 4 stars the most you can get, or it's 5 stars, right? So
yeah, it's 5.
He's not even a 5-star recruit going to Oregon, and you're already telling the coaches your son is lazy? Dad, we got to talk, man.
But also, did you see the Oregon O on the table? Like, even if you're mad at Dad,
yeah, we can tell.
The story, like, the Easter the eggs were all over the place.
We knew.
In a gym somewhere, Ben Simmons.
What?
All right, so we got one of these pickup games at NBA players. A few cats out there. John Morant's one the producer told me about. I've already forgotten who the rest of them were. But Ben Simmons out here playing pickup basketball. Let's get a look.
Aaron Gordon.
Oh!
Okay.
Oh! Oh!
Okay. Okay.
Come on.
Ben Simmons. Looking like an NBA player. Way to go, guy. Izzy, you intrigued?
No, not whatsoever. Saw those same videos last year. In fact, I think last summer I saw him hit multiple half-court shots in a row, and everybody was like, wow, his shot is fixed. We don't need to see him making it in preseason or in the offseason. We need to just see him taking them in the regular season, not even making them. Get me a mixtape of him taking jumpers in the regular season. Then I'll be intrigued.
Katie, put the card back up.
I'm intrigued. You know why? Because who knew all this time it was just a shirt? A shirt is holding you back. Just take your shirt off. And I don't mean that to be in any way other than just trying to help you achieve your best game. Look at you taking and making shots. It's a shirt. Just take your shirt off. It's like Hoodie Mellow. It's just shirtless Simmons.
All right, that's our show. I saw Izzy on PTI with a different background, but he only does this in that fake office. Katie Nolan, check out Sports. It's a podcast with a question mark.
And you can listen to The Right Time with Bomani Jones wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Katie. Thanks for nothing, Izzy.